The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Here on a Wednesday, it is time for Busted Open, the podcast edition. I'm Ryan McKinnell in for David LaGreca. I got Tommy Dreamer and the one and only Mickey James along for the ride. And on today's episode, we got the one and only Black Machismo, Jay Lethal, stopping by to talk about his match against Ric Flair in what was Ric Flair's retirement match over the weekend. Great conversation with Jay, so make sure you check it out. And speaking of great conversations, we got AEW president Tony Khan stopping by for some Tony time. So sit back, relax, and click play. Let's get it going. It's Busted Open on a Wednesday. We got Black Machismo on the line, and I'm not letting that dude wait here on a Wednesday. Jay Lethal joining the show right now, fresh off that retirement match against Ric Flair on Sunday night. Jay, how does it feel just a few days removed from such a kind of iconic moment in the history of pro wrestling?
Well, first of all, Ryan, show me where to sign, and I'll sign the petition for you to permanently replace LaGreca. Because you're doing a fantastic
Ooh.
Job.
Wow.
That made my Wednesday, Jay Lethal.
Jay.
I'm not I normally don't like the cheap pops. I normally don't like the cheap pops, and I direct anyone away from that sort of praise because I love Dave and I don't want to upset the fearless leader. But dude, when it comes from Black Machismo, I'm here for it. Thanks for the praise, my guy.
Right. I mean, I'm here and LaGreca couldn't even be bothered to show up. What's that about?
Wow. Maybe because you're not on the good foot anymore.
Oh, man. Mickey, maybe I think that's... you're right. I think I got on off the good foot. I think I need to get
Yeah. You don't went and got on that bad foot. Is what happened.
What's up, guys? Tommy, what's up?
How are you feeling, my friend? The MVP of last Sunday. I know it was an emotional time for you as well. But you were definitely MVP. My take of that whole thing, again, you were the MVP. And then I said, man, I miss the fact that Jeff Jarrett, who did a phenomenal job and did something that it's so hard to do, got real heat, wanted people to beat him up. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'll see Jeff Jarrett wrestling again because, you know, he's currently, working behind the scenes in WWE. It was a great event, and everyone that was participated in it said it was a happy time. But how was it for you performing?
I'm still riding that high right now. I do believe, much like pretty much most of my career, it still hasn't fully set in what I've gotten to do. I think when I finally settle down and realize it, my brain is going to explode. I can't believe I got to team with, first of all, Jeff Jarrett. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my brother and I have said, don't piss me off. I can't tell you how many times I've sang with my baby tonight. I know all the words. I can't tell you how many times I've said J-E-double-F, ha, 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 J-A-double-R-E, double T. I can't tell you how big of a wrestling fan I am. I was just in awe and just in dreamland, teaming with Jeff against my idol growing up. I mean, it's fair for me to say, if there were no Ric Flair, I don't know if there would be a Jay Lethal. That's how influential he was on me, and I got to be in there with Andrade. I mean, what an amazing talent. I hope that in some way this helps some future matches are in store for me and Andrade. There's no way to put this in full words. It was unreal. I was in a dream. And here's another thing too. Like, I didn't do this match for myself. I did this to help out a legend, to help out somebody that I idolized, to help out Ric Flair. He asked me to do it. Of right. course I wanted to do it for him. I didn't do this to further my career. I didn't do this for me because, I mean, quite simply, I'm sure it was in the back of everybody's mind, this could have went horribly wrong. And to have your name attached sure. to something that goes very, very badly wouldn't be good. But the risk was, I was willing to put the risk because the reward was so great. And the reward for me was seeing the smile on my idol's face because I somehow helped them complete some task that they wanted to do. And it was just unreal. And kudos to everybody involved. I saw a lot of the stage guys. Those vignettes and those videos that they put out were incredible. Kudos to all those guys who worked on it from the top to the bottom. Kudos to AEW. I mean, I'm an AEW contracted wrestler, so to get to work on something outside of AEW, you think would be like pulling teeth, but Tony, he knew how much Flair means to me. He knew what this meant to me, so he, you know, willingly let me work on something outside of the company, which was, I mean, so cool of him to do. And I just can't thank enough people. There's not enough time to thank everybody, but like it was just a dream come true. If anybody out there who knows me, then like even my best friend Sanjay, he knew exactly what this meant to me. So he flew him and his family out because I'm the godfather of his daughter, and he knew exactly oh. what it meant to me. So he made a whole trip out of it. Because
I love that so much. I thought Sanjay was there because he was there with the company or as a representative or whatever. I didn't realize that he flew him. I saw the kids and I saw his wife there, but that's so sweet. What a real friend.
Yeah.
Hey, you think about, I know you're a historian, for wrestling as well. Think of like all the moving parts. We have, you're an AEW guy. Andrade is an AEW guy. Ric Flair is independent. Jeff Jarrett is a WWE official. The show is run by Impact Wrestling, the production, all that stuff. There were so many moving parts that where it could have just blew up in everybody's faces, but it came together. And then like, if you think about, and this is like a cool thing, you're wrestling, you turn to your right, Undertaker, Mick Foley, Bret Hart, all in attendance.
Wild.
And like Undertaker works in WWE. It was nuts, dude. It was like a wrestling summit, yeah. but everyone was there to celebrate their love of professional wrestling and their love of a performer. And that performer was Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Insane,
I will say.
They were front row. And you know what? I wanted to so badly think about that, but to be honest, once I went through the curtain walking down the ramp, all I could think about, and this is the God's honest truth, all I could think about was making sure that I did as good a job as I could to protect and make sure that Rick would be okay. Looking for any signs of trouble, like I was just had tunnel vision. So like I said, later on when I finally stop moving and sit down and relax, and realize just what happened and who was in the front row, who was in attendance. I think my brain is going to explode. Like, nice. And the train is still moving tonight where we got Dynamite. And I'm wrestling Orange Cassidy live on television. Like I don't want to stop moving because I don't want my brain to explode. But like when I really get to think about everything that just happened, last weekend and everything in my career. I've been very blessed, fortunate, lucky. It's like winning the lottery, my career. The hard work I put in, sure, but a lot of it is luck and being blessed. I couldn't have asked for a better career. I couldn't have, like, but yeah, those guys at ringside, unreal, right? Unreal.
Now, if I was there, I would have totally hit a tombstone and given the middle finger to the Undertaker. Booked myself an angle right there. But that's just me. Let me ask you a question. This all kind of started with Instagram and Twitter, like Ric Flair in the ring with you working out, which, and I remember seeing him like lock up with Ricky Morton. And I was like, wow, Rick still has one hell of a great lockup. And then how did like all this come about where he just like comes to your wrestling school?
Well, I found out that he moved or lived in Tampa in March, somewhere around March, end of March. And then he found that I had a school, and he hit me up, which is always, sorry, one second, the plane's coming by. Okay, so Flair hit me up around end of March, early April. And of course, you know, me being such a big fan, anybody standing around me at that particular time knew that I just got a text message from Ric Flair, because I'm going crazy, you know. But he says, yeah, let's. I heard you got a school. I want to get in. Let's do it. And I said, okay. And then the next day, am I allowed to curse on here? On
this Sure. Sure, you can.
Let's go.
The next day, I get a text from him that says, let's do it, motherfucker. Let's get in the ring. I'm like, okay, what time? He goes, whatever time you tell me, let's do it. So I'm like, okay. So we meet at the ring, and we do a little rolling around, and we do some locking up, and when we leave, he goes, okay, same time tomorrow. And in the back of my head, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, is this just going to be a normal thing, me training with my idol? Just like, okay. So then the next day, he got up. I don't know what time he wakes up, but when I wake up every day around 8:30, 9 o'clock, I woke up to a missed call from him, so I listened to my voicemail, and it's a voicemail that I'll never delete. All it said was, wake up, motherfucker. Suplex off the top. Let's go. I was like, oh, my God. So I messed him up. So, yeah, training just – and then, of course, April, we're in training, and it's April. It's my birthday. And I get a text message, happy birthday from Ric Flair. Man, just like – I just – it's hard, so hard to describe how this is so crazy. But, yeah, it started about late March, early April, and I didn't know what this was all leading to. I just thought, hey, Rick is near a ring. He's a wrestler. Wrestling's in his blood. He just wants to get in there and, you know, just roll around a little bit just to, you know, feed the beast or whatever they call it. But it wasn't until late April where I heard rumblings that he was going to potentially have a match coming up, and he never told me straight out, but like he would hint at it, and I would be like, well, how do I become a part of this? What's going on? So yeah, we were actually training since end of March, early April, and I had no idea why or what was going on.
Well, in old school, they worked the mark to get the what they wanted. It worked out great.
yeah, you're right.
Those sure, carny sure, bastards.
I will say being carny there bastards. That night, like Jay, honestly, I can't imagine what you were feeling that night, but the energy in that building, like you guys had so much heat. Jeff and Karen had ridiculous amount of heat, like, but it was so special and match. And I'm sure it was for you because like you said, he was your idol. And I've just known you for so long. So to see you in that position and, I just thought it was a great job, like watching it. And it made me, I was watching it like a fan, you know, and it's hard to get us in the business to watch like a fan again, where I was truly emotional at the end of it, you know, and it was a really special night, and it was a part of wrestling history, you know, and it was really cool to see you be a part of that. And man, it was freaking awesome.
Thank you. Not to give away too much behind-the-scenes stuff, but of course, Ric Flair doesn't believe in planning too much. He likes to do things on the fly. He loves to, you know, just feels more real that way.
Because he's a worker.
Because he's a worker. My favorite part of the whole, you know, since the beginning of the training in March to last week. And my favorite part of the entire thing was we were supposed to get in the ring during the match. There was going to be a point where Rick and I were in the ring near the beginning. And I remember asking him, this is my all-time favorite part. I remember asking him, okay, so when you and I get in there, what exactly do you want to do? And he goes to me, what the fuck are you talking about? Just listen to me, kid. Follow me, and I'll guide you. And I was like, oh, my God. All right, okay. All right.
Okay, fine.
I don't know what about it. Okay, fine. Yes, sir. Something about the way he said it was so cool to me. Like, he didn't miss a step. And another thing that I'd like to point out was I told Rick and everybody who would listen, I said, you know, he really doesn't even have to do it. Just a few chops and a woo, and everybody will be fine.
Right.
But to be trying to take all these moves, and he wants to be in there forever to show that he can still go. And
yeah.
he wants us to quote unquote, this is out of his mouth, beat the shit out of me because you guys can't hurt me. Don't worry about it. To do all that, I thought, man, it was unreal that he still wants to do that. And nobody sees or saw, because a lot of times it didn't get recorded, but him being in my ring, practicing in Florida in that hot building, pushing himself to the point where he couldn't even get up. Nobody will see that ever. And like, he didn't have to do that stuff. It wasn't needed, and it was just a personal thing. He wanted to make himself the best he possibly could have. But like I said, deep down inside, just a couple chops and a woo, and everybody would have been like, okay, there you go. That's what we're
fine. That was great. That's all they wanted to see. And the strut.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And maybe the figure four. That's it.
And that's it.
It was so good, though.
The fact that he was in the gym pushing himself to the point where he almost threw up and almost passed out. And nobody will ever see how hard he really worked to put on the best wrestling match he could possibly put on. I swear to God, it motivated me too. And I would see that and be like, what the hell is my excuse? Like, what am I doing? Like, he doesn't have to do this, but he's doing it. And just, man, I've so many emotions when I would watch that at class. It was unreal, unreal to me.
Yeah. And you kind of know that that's just how he is and that he was going to be that way. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And Jay, because of the match you had, I announced 25 years from today, I will have you having my last match. I'll be 77. Mickey will be there in a wheelchair gimmick.
I was going to pull a foot.
I'd like you to be there as well.
I not only would I like to be there, Tommy, but I think let's start it off with you coming down to Florida, training at my school. That's
right.
How we'll start it.
Yeah. Is your school still going to be open then? Let's hope.
Me, it will be. It will
okay.
be.
Okay. Okay.
I'll be there. I'll be there waiting. I'm going to wait. We won't.
How old will you be in 25 years?
Oh, I'll still be wrestling. That's for damn sure.
Oh, well, I'm having a retirement match. So I was thinking it at WrestleMania, but we'll try to work it out.
Yeah.
Tommy, that's called long-term booking. That's what we call long-term booking here. We'll set that up. We got it. It's all good. Black Machismo, Jay Lethal here on a Wednesday, man. First of all, congrats on an iconic moment over the weekend. I know personally it had to mean a ton, and I got to thank you, man, for making some time for us here on a Wednesday. Especially, you got Dynamite tonight. You got Orange Cassidy, man. Go out there and get it. We'll be watching.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I like, whenever I do these, I'm always like, oh, who am I forgetting? There's just so many people that I want to thank that need credit for helping me get to where I am. But there's just never enough time. Never enough time. I mean, like, oh, God, my parents who got to watch, you know, they wanted to be in attendance, but they, you know, traveling isn't the best for them right now. And I know Carrie Silken. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Carrie. So, like, there's so many people, and it breaks my heart that I'm drawing a blank and I can't remember some of their names, and there's not enough time to remember to list all their names. But if you're listening, thank you for following along of anything that I've ever done. And thank you for watching tonight. I'm going to go going against Orange Cassidy. Thank you, Mickey, for even being my friend. Tommy, you treat me like an equal. This is amazing. Ryan, please replace LaGreca, please, on a permanent basis.
Wow.
Be bothered to be here.
Wow.
But yeah, just thank you everybody for following along. Thank you. The world of wrestling is great right now. It's a great time to be a wrestler. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey everyone, Lindsay Rhodes here, host of the NFL Roadshow podcast. After a long wait, it's finally time for the three sweetest words in the English language, training camp season. Okay, maybe that's a stretch, but I am still super excited that we can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel and the NFL season is just around the corner. We will be getting you ready for that season the only way that we know how here on the NFL Roadshow, with great guests, insightful conversation, and a whole lot of passion. New episodes are released every Thursday. You can listen on the SXM app and wherever you stream your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The one and only Tony Khan stopping by here on a Wednesday. You guys just sent out a press release and you talked about some expanded roles, a little bit of breaking news, but you also brought in a very familiar face in the business and also in women's wrestling. Excuse me, Tony, Madison Rayne coming over to lend her knowledge and expertise to AEW. Can you talk about what we just heard from the AEW office?
Yeah, very excited about the announcements today. We've shaken up the office a bit. We have a lot of great executives. We promoted some from within the team. And as you mentioned, we just added another coach. Madison Rayne is a great wrestler with a ton of experience. And Tommy and Mickey are obviously both very familiar with her. And she's a great person in the ring and a great person in the office. And I think she's really going to add a lot to her team. And how cool is it that her first day in AEW tonight is going to be in her hometown, Columbus, Ohio, where we have Dynamite on TBS tonight?
Yeah, that's incredible. She's an incredible asset, Tony. Congratulations. She's great.
Thanks, Mickey.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I think she's going to be great for the team, and she's excited. And like I said, how cool is it to get to make your start in the office in your hometown? It's going to be neat. And it should be a really fun thing, and everybody's really excited to have Madison Rayne as part of AEW. A lot of exciting things happening, and definitely today, that's got a lot of people excited.
Very cool.
Does that mean she will no longer be wrestling? Because I enjoy her wrestling as well.
I'm not saying she wouldn't wrestle anymore, and obviously, you know, we're kind of open to it. You know, we have other people in the office who do wrestle as part of their schedule, so I'm definitely open to it. I haven't talked a lot about it right now because I'm primarily focused on the whole company, but it's definitely something I'm really open to and would actually like.
Great. And the other big news is, besides that you're live in Columbus tonight on Dynamite, I seen screen caps of it, the video game
AEW Fight Forever.
Let's go, Tony Khan.
It's going to be great. A lot of exciting things happening around AEW right now. It's a great time, and very excited about AEW Fight Forever. Of course, really excited about some of the changes we made to the office. Madison Rayne coming in, that's something we've been looking forward to and talking about for a while. Again, it's a perfect day for her to start here in her hometown and get that hometown pop in the locker room. And then also, really great for people who've been working hard, Sanjay, QT, and Pat Buck, to get recognition for those roles and doing things that really they've been doing a lot of this to begin with, but we can formalize it. And those are people that have worked really hard and put in 7 days a week for this company. And there are a lot of people top to bottom I really appreciate. And I think giving recognition to people who work hard is always really important. And speaking of that, in this company, I think a lot of people have gone a long way, risen very far in the ring based on how hard they've worked and have made the strides. And tonight, I think you're going to see some people that have come a long way in AEW from the beginning of their journey. And tonight could be one of the biggest nights in the careers of several AEW stars tonight on TBS. So there's a lot to look at. You know, and a lot of people making the leap, so to speak, in recent weeks in AEW. And it's just a really exciting time in the wrestling business. So I'm just glad to be here with the three of you today.
Yeah.
You know, it goes to a question we had talked about before, and now this is a two-pronged question for you. We're talking about your favorite years in the business. One would be as a fan, and then one would be obviously as an owner. Do you have a two?
Yeah. I think my favorite year as a fan, that's a great question. I didn't know you were going to ask it. My favorite year as a fan, honestly, would probably be 1992. And I say that because I was 9 years old, turning 10 years old, and it was the first year that I really, from start to finish, the whole calendar year, was watching multiple wrestling companies. You know, 91 was kind of the discovery year. 1990, I started watching wrestling. 1991, I started discovering more companies. 92, the whole year, I was reading magazines, watching different wrestling, and I really enjoyed the WWF shows. I really enjoyed the WCW, whether it was the Kip Fry era or the Bill Watts era. And, you know, everything was just magical to me. And it's hard to put a price tag on that. And as a promoter, I think last year, we always hear people talk about 2021 AEW red hot. And it was the perfect set of circumstances. And it's funny because in June and leading into the summer, I think people were wondering what we were going to do, how we were going to capture that heat and get that momentum. And a lot of things happened for us, and obviously free agency, the biggest thing I think that moved that summer last year was the arrival of CM Punk, and, you know, teases and the buzz around Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole possibly coming in, which happened it all out. And now we're in a really exciting place. And last year was probably my favorite year as a promoter. And now I'm looking to get us back to where we were in terms of having all of our top stars on the roster healthy and active at the same time. And piece by piece, I think we're going to get there. The most challenging year I've had was 2020 in many ways because of the lockdown. And there were months where a lot of the top stars in our company were not able to travel. They were locked down with their families. And I told everybody it's going to be voluntary through the pandemic, especially that first year. Nobody knew what was happening. And a lot of people stayed home for months. And it was challenging putting the shows together. But in some ways, I'm the proudest of those shows we did in 2020, early pandemic, because we kept the company going. And they were still really good shows, even though sometimes half the big stars or more weren't really around. At one point, we had 29% of the roster 2.5 years ago. And now, you know, it's crazy to say a lot of the big stars this year have been out. And if that was the lockdown year, 2020, I think in 2022, there's been a ton of injuries. And it's been the year of changes and shakeups. But that being said, we've managed to come through and do some of our best shows this summer. And I think that's now probably topping 2020 for what I'm the proudest of, because I thought last week's show was one of the best ones we've ever done for Fight for the Fallen. And it was for a great cause, Oceana. And really, if you look, you know, a couple weeks before that, Fyter Fest week one, I think was tremendous. And then a couple weeks before that, I thought Road Rager was one of the best shows of the year. So we've had some of our best shows this summer, even with a lot of our top people out. And I think that's only been possible because a lot of people have taken the leap. Some of these are really young wrestlers. Some of them are people, they're young, but they're not, you know, super young. And they've just taken a leap in their career. But a lot of these are really, we saw last week, a bit of a youth movement on Wednesday Night Dynamite. And right. I think that's really helped us this summer.
Well, our very own Gabby said 2021 was her favorite, especially being a new fan. And most of her moments were all because of AEW. So you guys just celebrating you and thinking about those times. And I remember when you would come on the show during COVID, and even for me and Dave, we didn't know what was going on. But the biggest thing, and which was so unheard of at the time, was your caring for the wrestlers, the well-being, and like how protected you were with testing everybody. And it just, it's a testament to you as a human being doing that, because you put humans over a price tag of dollars. And that's why, again, I praise you for a lot of reasons, but let us never forget stuff like that, that gets done. And you're right about last week's movement. And if I could ask you this, because I know I always ask you these questions, I looked at your show. I loved your show last week, and Danny Garcia had a breakthrough performance, and it proved in the ratings. But I'm saying to myself, how do you not, like, you have such a great mind, or is it your gut? Like the show, the match you opened with Moxley, do you put it first, or do you put Garcia Danielson first? Like that, those are two matches that both, in my opinion, could carry. But how do you go and say, I need to choose this over the other? Because they're like life or death decisions to me. If I was like running AEW, like I wouldn't know what to do. So I just kind of want to, I like Tony Brain. I like to hear how it goes.
Well, it was really hard call which matches to schedule and then where to put them last week. And I thought Moxley versus Rush was a really hot opener and yep, just a great way to hook people into the show. And then as the show went on, I thought we could really build interest for Danielson versus Garcia. And I felt like we'd have a better chance to hook a big audience for the night, maybe opening with Rush versus Moxley. And also both matches, you know, I came up with, to be honest, at the Ring of Honor event the previous weekend at Death Before Dishonor. I was putting touches on the Dynamite card for last week, and they both just felt right. You know, Rush really came alive and had a great performance, and it was against his own brother, Dragon Lee, no less. And I thought for Garcia, this is going to be the biggest showcase of Danny's career to this point, and for all we know, it could be the biggest match of his career, and just felt right being the main event. And I thought it would really set the tone going out and really give everybody, when you look back at the episode and how many people made some kind of a leap, whether it was Jungle Boy doing the best promo he's done, or Hook coming out and winning the FTW title. A lot of young wrestlers really stepped up and had their moment, and definitely for young Danny Garcia to have his, I thought was really, really cool. And he deserves it. He had a great match with Wheeler Yuta. He came very close to winning the Ring of Honor Pure Championship the weekend prior, and then to come out and beat Bryan Danielson, that is huge in any wrestler's career, and especially somebody who appreciates the business the way Danny does. So it was a great show, and I think bookended absolutely by classic matches, opening with Mox versus Rush and closing with Garcia versus Danielson.
Good call.
Thanks, Ben.
Here with AEW president Tony Khan. Oh, sorry, Tony. I know we're talking about younger wrestlers, and you obviously have a myriad of young wrestlers that you have been highlighting and pushing the business forward. And we'll get back to Dynamite. But from, you know, the youth and the future of the business, I do just want to jump back to Sunday. I do have to ask you are such a historian. You are such a pro wrestling fan. How trippy was it for you on Sunday night to watch Ric Flair have his final match against, you know, an AEW guy in Jay Lethal and Andrade? I mean, what was like your emotional range? What did you think about that whole event? Because it was an event, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a lot of AEW participation in it, and a lot of people asked if they could, you know, be involved, and I thought it was the right thing to do. And for all of them, everybody came back and had a great time, and it seemed like it really captured a lot of excitement, and there was definitely a lot of interest in it, and I was happy to see that, and just glad everybody came out of it okay. That's definitely the most important thing. And
sure,
you know, it seems like it was a successful event, and everybody from AEW and Ring of Honor who was involved had a great time, and definitely the fans, you know, were able to pay tribute, which was really cool, and a lot of people in the business able to pay tribute too, which is also awesome.
Yep, and you know, had Jay Lethal on, and Jay thanked you and thanked AEW because I mean, to be honest, you could have said no, and you didn't. But so that's super duper cool.
Yeah, of course, man. And speaking of Jay Lethal, he's got a big match tonight on Dynamite Jay Lethal's had a great year in wrestling and yep. had some awesome matches. Yes, we saw Samoa Joe versus Jay Lethal was a classic at Death Before Dishonor a couple weeks ago. Jay Lethal with a big win on Rampage over Christopher Daniels, another Ring of Honor legend. And Jay Lethal really been on a tear, whether it's Takeshita or Lee Moriarty in Ring of Honor. A lot of great wins this year for Jay Lethal. And he's one of the top-ranked wrestlers in AEW, and he's going to fight another one of our top stars tonight, Orange Cassidy. And last week, they really went at it in the trios match on Rampage, and I'm really excited to see that as a one-on-one match. Two of my favorites, Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal, one-on-one tonight. I just think that's going to be a really great wrestling match.
Yes, different mm-hmm. styles, and Jay's on next level, but so is Orange Cassidy. We've really seen him grow within AEW, and it is a definitely interesting matchup, and I know I personally gonna enjoy it because I'm a big mark for both guys. I love watching them perform.
Mm-hmm. And both guys I really think are chasing a championship. They both had close calls. We see Jay Lethal really close call with Samoa Joe, and we saw Orange Cassidy had a close call with Wardlow, and has had a number of close calls in championship matches. So I think both of them are really chasing championship gold, and both could be a great champion. So it's something to keep an eye on, and a lot of stakes in that match tonight, Orange Cassidy versus Jay Lethal.
Nice.
Yeah. Should be a good one. Tony, and also,
I was just say, Tony, you talk about the future. You talk about having great years. You mentioned his name just a little bit ago, Wheeler Yuta. Massive spot against Jericho tonight.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, my friend. I'm so excited about Wheeler
Yuta.
Great minds. That's a great minds indeed, and I was about to say the same thing. Really, what a year Wheeler Yuta is having. And he's been involved in some of the biggest moments on AEW TV this year. Huge part of the Blood and Guts and his team winning this year, beating the Jericho Appreciation Society. And we saw him have really his star-making moment on Rampage just over 3 months ago in Boston when he took Jon Moxley to the limit in their third match. And that is one of the best matches on AEW TV this year, and it's really a needle-moving match for us. It's the highest-rated episode of Rampage in all of this year, and the highest-rated episode since October, actually, Moxley versus Yuta, and something that I think there's a lot of interest in seeing, frankly, a fourth match between Moxley and Yuta. But you have to admit, Chris Jericho right now is also probably having his best year in AEW. And really, since he first came in and won the title, I don't think we've seen Chris Jericho on this dominant of a run. Certainly physically, he looks better than he has in many years.
Yeah.
And whoever wins this match is going to be a really, really tough out for the interim world champion, Jon Moxley, next week. And two very different styles, and it would be two very different matches. Whoever wins this match, Jericho versus Yuta, it's going to be a great world title fight next week at the Quake by the Lake.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.